Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome back to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm your host, Michael Martin, and I'm joined by my Thunder Buddy on this Tuesday morning, Joe Masato of the Oklahoman. Joe, how are you doing?
Good morning, Michael. I'm doing well. We both just watched some FIBA World Cup games, so we've got actual basketball to talk about, and that's a good thing, I'd say.
Yeah, the last time that we had actual basketball to talk about with Thunder players involved, I don't know, are we counting Summer League, or do we have to go all the way back to the play-in?
I suppose we'll count Summer League, but yeah, this was much needed after making it through kind of the dog days of late July, early August. The FIBA World Cup's been a lot of fun.
Yep. Well, they got done with a lot of exhibition games, and now they're finally in like group play and things like that. Let's start off with the game that just happened, Canada versus Lithuania. We had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander versus Davis Bertāns. Canada wins 101-75. Lou Dort doesn't play in this one, but what are your biggest takeaways from the game?
Shai was awesome, and he was... It's kind of like he does with the Thunder. I mean, he gets stronger as the game goes on. Sometimes he starts slow, and then he just continually wears down his opponents with these relentless drives to the rim, just keeping defenses off balance. He was terrific today for the Canadians. He's arguably been the best player in the tournament so far. Versus Latvia, 27 points on 10 of 17 shooting, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. Canada is 3-0. They cruise through their group. They're heading to the round of 16, as is Latvia, who got a really good upset win over France in their last time out before losing to Canada. So even with the loss today, Latvia is advancing. Bertāns did, he played really poorly today, did not shoot it well. But still, they've been one of the best stories of the tournament so far. So they're advancing as well. And by the next time Canada plays, hopefully Lou Dort is back out there. He has been listed as out with soreness. Like we were saying, off-air, classic case of general soreness. We don't know where the soreness is located. But it sounds like he's going to be good to go whenever they start the next round.
Just a general area. Just anywhere from like his head to his toes. Just it's somewhere in there.
Once you get to a certain age, you can just say you're sore and no one asks any questions.
I don't think Lou Dort's at that range,
he's probably
though.
Not.
I mean,
speaking from a personal perspective.
That's fair. Yeah, but Shai was awesome in that game. Like you mentioned, he gets stronger as the game goes on. It felt like one of those situations where you're playing video games against an older brother or an older cousin, and they just sit up in their chair after a while. It's like, okay, that's enough. I'm going to take this game over. Because Lithuania early was up by like 10 points, and then all of a sudden Shai just put into overdrive, and the game was never in question after that.
Yeah, and here's his, so FIBA just updated their stats. So in three games, remember these are only 40-minute games as opposed to 48-minute NBA games. So the counting stats are going to be less. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 25.2 minutes per game. He's shooting 55% from the field. He's not shot it well from three. Has not taken a ton of them. Shooting 27% from three, but from two, 64%, shooting 88% from the free throw line, and he's averaging 22 points and 5.7 assists and 8 rebounds per game, 1.7 steals per game. So he's been incredible.
Yeah, the only thing I would throw back is like the 3-point shooting that you were talking about. It feels like any three that he is shooting, it's off that step back that's really difficult.
Yeah.
And it's just like, let's, you know, maybe this is a situation that solves itself with the Thunder, because let's not act like this Canada team, although they have a lot of NBA talent, I don't think they have like premier spacing or a guy you trust to handle the ball a lot instead of Shai. I don't know if you're a big RJ Barrett fan, but I'm not really trying to see Dylan Brooks or Kelly Olynyk bring the ball up.
I'm not an RJ Barrett fan. I think he's been really underwhelming, and it's like we keep waiting and waiting and waiting. You don't want the ball in this guy's hands all the time, but I have been impressed with Shea's cousin, mm-hmm. Nikhil Alexander Walker, who, you know, obviously played well in that play-in game against the Thunder. The Timberwolves are bringing him back. He's a guy that, you know, kind of disappointed in the first couple years of his career, but it looks like he's hitting a stride. He has shot the ball extremely well for the Canadians. 46% from three. He's averaging 4 3-point makes per game on 8.7 attempts. So more of a spacer next to Shea, but he's been really good too.
He has been. And then, I don't know, you can tell me if I'm off base with this, but just watching Shea in these games and then seeing him over the course of the last few years, it's like night and day how much his body has changed. Like, he's really filled out where he was this like skinny, wiry guy when he first came to the Clippers and even to the Thunder that first year. But like, he's massive right now.
Yeah, and he's just so in control of every movement he makes. I mean, he gets in the air, he's able to contort his body and just make all these crazy finishes. And you're right, a lot of times he gets the ring to the rim. I sound like Josh Giddey out here. To the rim, it is because of his strength, and it's like this really nice combination of kind of strength and flexibility, which you don't really associate those two things together all the time. But yeah, he's been in ultimate control, and like I said, he is he has got a case for the best player in this tournament.
Yeah, his balance is unreal. I was thinking about it watching the game this morning. I was like, is he the fastest slow player in the NBA or the slowest fast player in the NBA? Like,
that's a good one. I would lean slowest fast player, because I think he has the ability
mm-hmm.
to speed it up, to get up and down the floor fast, to get to the rim fast. But more often than not, he chooses to move slowly. And that's like the perfect changeup to keep defenses off balance. But he does play at a very peculiar pace.
Yeah, and then just Shea, over the course of all this FIBA action, like you mentioned, he's been considered maybe the best player in this entire tournament, even involving Luka. What else have you heard just from around FIBA and just different things like that?
Well, he's obviously, I don't want to say turning a lot of heads, because everyone knew going into this how good Shea was, but Canada basketball right now in the FIBA rankings, they're ranked 15th in the world. They've got the second best roster, though, and they're going to shoot up those rankings. And I think the next step for Shea, from like a, you know, fame standpoint or recognition standpoint, if he could lead Canada, you know, to the semifinals, to the finals in this tournament, and, you know, everyone really wakes up to what Canada basketball has become, that would be huge for him. I mean, the Olympics next summer are going to be fascinating with Canada in them. If you think that, you know, Jamal Murray might be ready to go and play for them, he just wanted to sit out after a long regular season. Andrew Wiggins, another guy that should be out there for the Canadians. So they've got quite a squad, and people are recognizing that, and Shea is the face of Canada basketball right now.
Yeah, it's been really cool to see everyone on Twitter just kind of get behind Shea. And then as far as Lou, obviously he's out with general soreness, but in the games leading up to that, did you see anything from him in the exhibition play?
Yeah, I didn't catch much of the exhibition game. So he did play in the first group play game and was really good defensively and just wasn't shooting it well offensively. So, you know, not a huge like learning game from Lou Dort, but like, you know, France was considered a threat before they just laid an egg in this tournament, and Evan Fournier is like, you know, he's fallen off as an NBA player, but he's still a really good FIBA player, and Dort, you know, checked in and guarded Fournier and did really well. I thought the interesting thing with Dort is in that first game he did not start for Canada, and he started, I looked this up the other day, but like every game of his Thunder career, except like four of them, I think. So he's in this unique role of coming off the bench. The Canadians are starting Dylan Brooks in that spot over Lou Dort.
Yeah, watching lineups of Lou Dort and Dylan Brooks on the floor at the same time with RJ Barrett, it just, the defense is great, but some of the offensive possessions, it's just, yeah. It reminds me of watching like Iowa play college football, where it's just like, are we going to win like 6-2 here? And yeah, the six are all safeties. We're watching
anyone play college basketball.
Oh, God. Okay, well, let's get to Team Australia here. They played earlier against Japan. They had a strong home crowd, and it was kind of back and forth where Australia led for most of the game. They ended up coming out with a 20-point win, but Japan was fighting back, and then Josh Late was incredible.
Yeah, Giddy was really, really good, and, you know, it's sort of similar to Shea with Canada. Giddy has just led this Australian team. They did lose to Germany, but finished 2-1 in group stage, beating I forgot who they beat once, but they, you know, just beating Japan today to seal the deal. And that's like easier said than done because they were playing in Okinawa and the crowd was crazy. Yeah. I mean, they were definitely facing an uphill battle there, but Giddy was under control, you know, played, did exactly what he needed to for Australia, and they've got quite a squad as well.
Yeah, down the stretch, he just kind of took over, and I know that we've talked about this before, the team's going to be built around him, and it was very, very obvious with that everybody looked to him as the guy down the stretch. It was him and Patty Mills. I think he scored, Josh, 9 of their last 11 points before they pulled the starters, including like a deep dagger 3 off the dribble, which definitely got all of Thunder Twitter hype.
Yeah, so Josh Giddy, in this tournament, 3 games, he's averaging 19 points per game, 7.3 assists, 5 rebounds. So again, those are crazy numbers for a 40-minute basketball game. He is shooting 47% from the field, so you'll take that. That is on 53% two-point shooting and 22% three-point shooting. Obviously, tiny sample sizes here. And he's getting to the line, shooting 6.3 free throws per game, which leads the Australians. So that's a really good sign. Only shooting 68% on those free throws. But overall, Giddy is doing what he did for the Thunder. He's filling up the stat sheet. He's scoring. He's rebounding. He's passing. And getting to the free throw line is really big for him. You know, because he got to the rim so much last year. But you're like, for a guy this size and this physical, you know, how's he not getting to the line more? Maybe that will come with just age and experience, but that he's doing it in FIBA, I think is encouraging.
He had a couple of rip-throughs today. I saw he had the Chris Paul move where he had the team in the bonus. About that? I was like, oh, this is not what I expected, but on brand for a Thunder player wearing number 3 to do something like that. But yeah, Josh was really good, just controlling the pace and controlling the energy of the game. And you know, his rookie season, he had a lot of these games where it was no Shea, where he could kind of run the show. Last year, maybe it was like a handful, maybe 10. I feel like there were some times where they both missed stretches at the same time. But just a substantial stretch of games with him as the lead playmaker, I think, is good for his development against different competition.
Yeah, no, for sure. And again, he's stepping into kind of the, you can't say face of the franchise, but like, face of the nation type role, taking that mantle from Patty Mills, who is still, I mean, Patty Mills continues to be a great FIBA player. He's 35 years old and he's leading this team in minutes, and is playing pretty well. But elsewhere on the Australians' side, I haven't been able to get as many looks at Jack White as I would want to. Jack White is Australia's 10th man, if you go by minutes. He's averaging 8.4 minutes per game, has played in all 3 games, hasn't done a whole lot, but what can you do in those minutes? So I don't know what it says about his chances to make the team if he's the 10th man on Team Australia. And I still am not, you know, totally sure, you know, what exactly, this is not a knock against Jack White. It's more a knock against my lack of knowledge about Jack White. I'm still not sure what they see in him, what his role might be in the NBA, but it's been hard to, I still don't have a feel for that situation, but I wonder if you do.
I would consider myself a Jack White agnostic. He might be good. He might not. I don't know. I'm open to either. I haven't seen a lot either, other than just like little clips and tape. And it's obvious he does like all the little things, like dirty work player, like cleaning things up.
Yeah.
Just solid role player. But outside of that, I don't know. But I think it is interesting with if they're going to keep him around hypothetically. We already know the two-way spots are filled up. And to me, it feels like with those guys, and then if they keep Jack, it's just kind of insulating the guys on the roster with guys who can plug and play at any time, and they don't need developmental time, which I think is nice if you are somebody who's pro Jack White. Is, you know, we kind of know what he is. He can come in and play some minutes, but it's not like we have another guy like Jang or Poku where it's like if he's on the bench, you're wasting your time. He needs to get minutes.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I mean, I'm not convinced Jack White is a guy that can plug and play and play
for 4 minutes a game, 5 minutes a game.
You know who he reminds me of a little bit is Gabriel Deck.
Yeah.
And that he's like undersized for what he does on the floor. Like he plays like physical and seems to be more comfortable inside, despite not having the requisite size. You know, both kind of flash playmaking abilities, both international. So Sam probably has a type. I still think this is a deal to, you know, get Jack White into training camp. Who the heck knows? For all I know, him and Josh Giddey are best buds there on Team Australia. And keeping Jack White around might not be a bad thing. But again, I'm searching for answers here. All in all, though, this isn't going to matter. Again, this is we're talking about the Thunder's, you know, not counting the 3 2-way guys. We're talking about the 15th man on the roster. So we'll see, but have not had a lot of Jack White exposure.
Yeah, other than he just kind of plays like the football players who come into your high school basketball team after being in football all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like that somebody drives in the lane and just gets body checked. They're like, I don't, how's that a foul? It's like, need you to turn your brain from football mode into basketball mode here. But yeah, Jack White, to be determined on some of those things. And yeah, like you mentioned, it's not going to change the destiny of this team. What happened? I mean, everybody got all up in arms, and we talked about it for a while about Usman Garuba and Ty Washington. Cleared waivers, nobody signed them. So the odds of somebody going and being like a 15th man on someone's team and then moving and then being like a top 10 player, like what Isaiah Joe did last year, is very, very out of the ordinary.
Yeah, and you know, someone might eventually sign Garuba or Washington, but no one wanted to liked them enough to claim them off waivers. I think the same would probably be true of Jack White. I think Jack White would clear waivers if the Thunder released him. So we will we'll see on that.
Well, I know your love and affinity for drafts, so that is what we're going to do.
I love a draft.
We've been talking about it. Like you mentioned, Shea, arguably the best player in FIBA. So I thought we would draft our best FIBA teams here. And we're going to do it, you know, 8 to 9 man rosters from the pool of players currently playing in the World Cup games. No Team USA select guys, so no Cheddar J-Dub and no injured players like Porzingis. The goal is to build the best team possible for FIBA play and FIBA rules in mind, the different pace in the NBA, shorter three-point line, you can take the ball off the rim, etc. Are you ready?
I'm ready. You talk about like building it for FIBA rules, and there are some differences. I feel like I haven't noticed as much like taking the ball off the rim as I like expected or remember from watching Olympic games. But anyway, just a random little tidbit there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to flip a coin using technology because I don't have a real coin here. You want heads
that
or tails?
That's a sad state of affairs. I have to trust a computer to be heads or tails.
I mean, if you want me to crack open my piggy bank, I'll do it. I won't be happy about it.
Tails.
Okay.
Tails.
Hey, Siri, flip a coin.
Oh, gosh.
It's tails. You get the first pick.
I would have said
I trust technology now. Yeah.
Against me, but okay, the first pick. We're building FIBA World Cup rosters. Among the guys in group play, as Michael said, but I'm just restating the facts here. I'm going to go with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as my number one pick. Full disclosure, I did a ranking of the top 10 players in the World Cup a few days ago. I had Shai number 2, behind Luka Doncic. And my feelings on that haven't really changed. But at the same time, you know, I don't want to have things thrown at me on the streets of Oklahoma City. And Shai has been phenomenal. And as you just did with Siri, it's a flip of the coin with these guys, which is saying something about Shai's ascent. So I am going to take the Thunder player and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I think it's more you just didn't want to take Luka, and that's okay.
Yeah, I really don't like watching.
That's what I thought. So I will take Luka anyways. I thought about just letting him drop to the third pick because I knew you wouldn't take him again, but
I think that'd be good value at three. I'd probably take
him. I will take Luka as my first pick. Guy who was MVP of EuroLeague at like 18-19, so knows the rules. He could be pretty good. He's making a team of Slovenia, which is like him, Goran Dragic's younger brother, who's like also 35. And making them competitive. So I feel pretty decently with Luka if I can surround him with some decent players here.
Yeah, I think they went undefeated in group play. They had a pretty easy group, but still, that's saying something for the fighting Slovenians. With my second pick, I'm building one heck of a backcourt here. I'm going to go Anthony Edwards from Team USA. Are we allowed to pick USA guys?
Yeah, just no Team USA select.
No select.
So I know that you were going to pick Chet with your first pick.
Yeah. So I got Shai and the Ant-Man. I don't know how they would play together, but I'm willing to figure it out.
There are not a lot of great bigs in this, so I'm going to take Jaren Jackson with my next pick. I feel like he's kind of the perfect big for international play because he's a super rim protector. He can stretch the floor. He's going to play well with Luka. He can take the ball off the rim with all those plays where you can take the ball off. He can push the pace. He can do a lot of things. And he's really impressed me with Team USA so far.
I like that pick. Jackson really is a great player. I mean, not only in the NBA, but especially in FIBA as well. But where you zig, dear Michael, I am zagging because I am referring to the list that I put out, and I'm just taking best available. And to me, that's Tyrese Haliburton.
That's what I'm worried about.
I'm going to pair Shai, the Ant-Man, and Tyrese Haliburton and eventually get some, you know, big man from Lebanon or wherever I have to go to find a big man. But I'm going to go with those three guys.
You can pick Usman Garuba.
Yeah.
Later in the draft. Let's see. Who else? Okay, this is tough.
Yeah.
I want some more defense out of my wings. Give me Mikal Bridges.
That's a good pick. Yeah, back-to-back really strong defensive picks by you.
Defense wins championships is what I've been told. I don't know if that's true, but...
But does it win World Cups?
It could win an NBA championship, but that doesn't matter as much as the World Cup, I've been told by an Olympic track runner. Who's your next pick? So far, the teams are Shai, Anthony Edwards, and Tyrese Haliburton for you, and for me, Luka, Triple J, and Mikal Bridges.
I feel like I just want to go all in on building this positionless team. And I guess it's really not a positionless team. It's just a team of guards. I am going to go. I'm going to go with Lauri Markkanen.
Okay, that's
good. He's got some size. Obviously, had a breakout year last year for the Jazz. Finland came up just short, but to that, I would say look at the rest of the Finland roster behind Lauri Markkanen. But he's going to slide in as my starting power forward.
One of my favorite players out there. I'm going with Franz Wagner.
Ooh. Are you saying Franz or Lauri is one of your favorite players?
Franz.
Okay.
Lauri is, he's fine. He's pretty good. He's not as exciting as Franz. I don't think a lot of people would disagree with that. I mean, Lauri, he made that All-NBA team, but before that, there were a lot of questions, and I think that Franz, being a younger guy who's not even 22 yet, has a lot more upside, and I just like his ability as like a 3-4 wing who can handle the ball.
You think Lauri Markkanen can be my starting center?
I'm competing against you. This is up to you. I mean, it depends on what you want to do. If you're going like full Mike D'Antoni, we're scoring 140. We don't care.
I think I might be drafting bench players before I'm filling my starting center spot.
That's fair.
Okay, so this is now my fifth pick, right?
Yes.
Okay, this guy is underwhelmed, but I've just always loved his game and I'm willing to take him here, and that's Brandon Ingram. I saw something the other day. He kind of complained, might be too strong of a word, but he's adjusting to a new role with Team USA not being a featured option. But if he did accept that role, what a guy to pair next to Shea and Halliburton. And, you know, we might just have to turn him into a spot up shooter, and he'd be quite good at that. So I will pick Brandon Ingram and try to convince him to come off the bench. Or if Markkanen is more willing to do that, might have that conversation with Markkanen, might have those two guys play one-on-one and duke it out. But I'm getting nervous, but I like my squad.
I'm going to zag on you here. My goal here right now is let's just give as much space to Luka as possible. Also, we're going to test the limitations on Triple J being the defensive player of the year, because we're pairing him with Karl Anthony Towns.
I thought about Towns with my last pick, and I just could not get there.
I'm not a Cat fan, but we don't have to have him as one of our best options. He just has to go stand in the corner offensively and then defensively just not get murdered, and that's it.
Yeah, and shout out to Karl Towns, because he's playing for the Dominican Republic, and he led them to the knockout round. So that is quite a feat. I probably should have went with Towns, but I'm like,
Gobert is still on the board.
Gobert is still on the board.
So is Nikola Jovic, Kelly Olynyk.
Stop talking. I should have written down your picks. You picked Mikal Bridges, right?
I have Luka, Triple J, Mikal Bridges, Franz, and Kat.
Okay. All right, with my next pick, who am I going to take? I'm going to take a backup point guard because I think he's the best value on the board. And I'm going to select Jalen Brunson.
Nice. I am also going to go with a backup guard here. But I'm going overseas former Thunder player Dennis Schroeder, who's awesome in FIBA.
He is.
That might not seem like a great pick for NBA basketball, but for the FIBA game where like quick guards can just be explosive. And he's been maybe the best player on Germany, even with Franz there. So,
yeah, no, Schroeder is like their best player in this format. Some guys just thrive in FIBA. And obviously Schroeder's had his NBA highlights as well, most notably in OKC. So that is a good pick. I feel like you're doing a better job considering the FIBA format than I am, but we shall proceed. Is this how many guys do we have right now?
This will be our seventh each. We have six each so far.
Six each. Okay. With my seventh pick, I'm going all in on the weirdness of this, and I'm going to select Josh Giddey of Australia.
I was worried that might happen. That was going to be my next one. I was like, you know what?
I mean, I am building just a team that can do just about everything except defend the rim.
Well, if only Poku was playing in this. If only. If only he was still out there. Okay, let's see. Who do we have on the board?
Are we going eight or nine here?
We can do eight if that's what you want to do, or we can go nine if you want to go deep into it.
I want to go nine. I want to get weird.
Let's get weird. This pains me to make this selection, but I'll take Austin Reeves. I've been not the biggest Austin Reeves guy for a long time, but Austin Reeves in FIBA has been incredible. He's been really, really good.
He has been good. I heard a promo the other day. It's like, watch Austin Reeves and Team USA play. And I was like, what?
He got the biggest ovation from the fans overseas when they announced him. He went last. He got like the Kevin Durant, Michael Jordan, like, and then last but not least, Austin Reeves.
Obviously, Lakers players are going to be more famous than anyone overseas, but it's just crazy to see this guy from nowhere, Arkansas, to Wichita State, to OU, undrafted, and then become this with the Lakers and Team USA. So good for Austin Reeves. I am with my second to last pick. Man, I really don't want to take Gobert, but I think that if he looks around and sees that he's by far the last option offensively and I could just have him play defense, I think it would be a good pick. I'm also considering Jonas Valanciunas.
Can I interest you in DeAndre Ayton?
Wait, DeAndre Ayton is not in the World Cup.
Oh, he's not? Did they not qualify?
Yeah, the Bahamas has been playing, but they were playing in like an Olympic qualifying tournament elsewhere.
Well, then completely ignore what I just said. That didn't happen.
So Buddy Hield is also off the board. As is Kai Jones, in case you were thinking about him.
Eric Gordon next.
Eric Gordon. I'm going to take Gobert. Regrettably.
I hope that your team, I mean, between Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, Giddy and Shea, I think you have enough good vibes to cancel out Gobert.
Yeah.
But
if he punches one of them,
you might have to pick Bobby Portis as your next pick just to handle that. Yeah. You know, between Luka and Schroeder, we don't need more ball handling. Give me Cameron Johnson.
Oh, that's who I was going to take with my last pick.
I've got a poll for my last pick. If you take this, I'm actually just going to shut down the pod.
Okay, I'm not going to take whoever this is because they're not even on.
He's just on my team for moral support.
Okay, Man, who do I want to take here? I'm just going to double up on Big here and take Valanciunas. And if the vibes are better with JV, he just might play instead of Gobert. But, you know, rugged guy, Lithuanians, they don't mess around. He's going to grab rebounds. He's going to be unselfish.
I love how new age your team is until you got to the two bigs. And then it was like 1994.
Oh, boy.
Whereas my team, I got the two most like new age bigs possible in Jaren Jackson and Kat.
Yeah.
Do I take a joke pick here or do I just take someone who's actually good? I'm taking someone who's good, but I'll let you know who my joke one was. I'm taking Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Hawks. He is on
another,
Team Serbia.
Another good FIBA player.
And then the guy who I was going to take as a joke pick was, I forgot he was even still playing. This like threw me off. Rudy Fernandez for Team Spain at 38 years old is still playing.
Oh, man. Rudy Fernandez was not on my list. I will just say that.
Was there anyone else on your big board that we just didn't get to?
I had like you know, specialists like a Lou Dort, like a Jordan Clarkson that I have considered. Nick Vucevic, couldn't really get there.
Patty Mills was my Dennis Schroeder insurance in case you took him.
Patty Mills.
I had Dyson Daniels in there.
He's not even playing for like the Australians.
He's not? I thought I saw him on the floor.
Well, he's I meant like big
oh, minutes. Okay. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, no, he's definitely playing, but not significantly.
Well, I'm glad we didn't go that far.
You know, just watch Japan play Utah Watanabe. That could have been an off the wall pick.
Did you see the point guard for Japan who was 5'6" who played?
He was playing like Max Asmus from Oral Roberts out there, just doing crazy things.
Yeah, imagine lining him and Josh up and telling someone who doesn't watch basketball, these guys do the same thing. They play the same position.
Yeah, he had that like step back three against Joe Ingles where he has to, it's like a rainbow just to get a shot off.
But to recap our teams here, you went with Shea, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton. That is a three tough yeah. three-headed monster guard combo to beat. Larry Markkanen, Brandon Ingram, Jalen Brunson, Josh Giddey, Rudy Gobert, Jonas Valanciunas. I had Luka, Jaren Jackson Jr., Mikhail Bridges, Franz Wagner, Karl Anthony Towns, Dennis Schroeder, Austin Reeves, Cameron Johnson, and Bogdan Bogdanovic. How are you feeling about your team? Does your team have a name?
I wish I could think of something creative, but I can't. I was just thinking of like the punchers or something, given my Gobert selection there at the end. We'll have a real fighting chance. No, we don't have a name. Our name is yeah, I don't know what our name is, but we've got these new age guards with these old school bigs, and it's going to be this sweet combination of two eras of basketball.
Team Back to the Future.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Our team's name is...
I should have stopped talking. You should have just said that.
I didn't think about it till you just said that. Our team is Team The Real World Champions, not the Denver Nuggets. This is The Real World Champions. We can talk about that for a second before you get out of here. I just think that thing has been hilarious with the for those who haven't seen a guy who won gold for USA track.
Yeah, Noah Lyles.
Yeah, talking about how he thinks it's weird that the NBA champions call themselves the world champions when they don't play everyone else in the world, which would have more merit to it, except for the best player in the NBA is international. The top two?
So Jokic just won the NBA title. Embiid just won MVP. Giannis, Luka. I mean, there are...
Shea is technically international.
Shea yep. Gilgeous-Alexander. So yeah, their international players are at the top of the league right now. So it's a silly comment, but from like a purely literal statement, I guess it's true. I mean, they're not out there playing Real Madrid or FS where Micić was playing, but does anyone need to see that? Does anyone want to see that? Does anyone need to see the Nuggets play whoever wins the EuroLeague? I don't think that's necessary. Just like in baseball, we call it the World Series. Now, fewer countries play baseball than basketball, but you know, anyway, it's a silly thing. I mean, what are you gonna do?
You don't want to see the Thunder go down to Puerto Rico and play DeMarcus Cousins and his team?
That'd be fun. They should do something like that. Yeah, like track stars are competing against the whole world. But basketball players, if you're anywhere in the world and you're good enough, you're going to play in the NBA. So, but hey, I'm all about having a random hot take that gets people to talk about you. Actually, that's not quite my style, but shout out to Noah Lyles for doing that.
I really like this, even though I actually don't. Joe Masato.
I respect it. I respect it. Like, say something totally outlandish, but really be convicted in it.
Yeah, don't just say it to say it. But yeah,
0%
reality to this statement that I'm about to make, but it's a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. That Adam Silver put this guy up to it because he is trying to get the cup, the Vegas Cup, the in-season tournament. They're going to try to expand it to European teams at some point.
So you think he's like the most high-profile plant of all time?
Well, because it would be too obvious if they had an NBA player and an international player do it.
Yeah.
Can't show your hands too early, but if you have it with a guy who's just like, hey, you just won a gold medal, like whatever, you're going to be happy no matter what the PR backlash is of Devin Booker calling you dumb or Kevin Durant saying that you need mental help or anything like that. Doesn't matter. We'll give you a nice little check here. And we just need you to plant this for a debate topic so then maybe we can get Real Madrid or whoever it is to play in this World Cup game in the in-season tournament.
I'm reading this the story of NBA players reacting to Noah Lyles' statement, and they're quite funny. Retired NBA player and ESPN commentator Kendrick Perkins wrote of Lyles, quote, "Put his brain in a bird and the bird will start flying backwards."
Kendrick Perkins is
I don't really know that figure of speech, if it is one, or if Perkins just made it up, but
if you gave me 50 guesses to which player you were going to quote first, I heard former NBA players like, okay. And you're like, ESPN analyst is like, okay. Kendrick Perkins is like, oh no, where is this going? Just, yeah. FIBA basketball has been a lot of fun and it gives us something to talk about. So that should be fun going forward. But Joe, thanks for coming on with me. Do you have anything to plug before we get out of here?
No, not really. I mean, we're covering, as we do on this podcast, I'm covering it in written form, the FIBA World Cup. So we'll continue to write about the Fighting Canadians and Australians and Latvians as they proceed through this World Cup. Because not much else is happening in the NBA world. I'll be helping out on some high school sports, some college football, which is right around the corner. Before we started recording, Michael predicted the Sooners to go 12-0, so I thought that was pretty bold. But yeah, look out for all of that.
Yeah, we might have to go back in the files and find that, because I might have said, you know, I'm an OU alum. I am cautiously optimistic, is what I would say. I am not expecting. I'm happy with double digit wins. Let's just see what happens. You know, we've been burnt a few times in Sooner Nation over the last couple of years of like, hey, it's gonna be really good. I don't know. Sometimes
I'm
feels
gonna
like,
talk to you after OU goes 10-2, and I don't think you're going to be happy. But we'll see.
Who are the two losses to? That's very important. And how much is it?
One of them is Texas.
Okay, I'm already not really happy about that. If it's another 49-0 drumming.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who else the other loss would be. I actually picked the Sooners to go 9-3, which, you know, is a vast improvement over last year. So I'm pulling for you, Michael.
We all are. Let's hope this happens. I need just something to go well just for a little bit. I don't know. OU football, it's a different type of pain. I mean, obviously, grew up watching the Thunder, but OU's number one for now. But anyways, yeah, mock me in the comments whenever OU goes like 6-6 or something like that. But thank you all for listening. Thank you, Joe, for coming on to the podcast with me. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, rate us 5 stars on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Leave a description. It means a lot to us. And we'll be back for more Thunder Talk on Friday.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.